This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
The following podcast is scheduled for one fall, and there will be no disqualifications. Making their way to the ring from lineupmedia.fm at a combined weight of 849 pounds, the Three Horsemen.
What's up, everybody? We're back. I'm giving everybody a tour of the studio
on the YouTube.
On YouTube, where you can catch us at, what is it, YouTube? Three Horsemen something?
Yeah, just threehorsemanshow.com/YouTube.
Boom.
That'll take you there. Better make sure that exists.
Yeah, make sure that exists first. We are back for the old school edition, second part. We're talking to you on a Friday from what I can gather, I believe. Well, fuck yeah, I'm in charge of it, so yeah.
You make sure it comes out Friday, huh?
We're talking to you on a Friday.
Well, on a Wednesday on YouTube, to be fair.
That's right. It's Wednesday. Yeah, if people are watching us live, they know it's Wednesday. You're right. Old school edition, what we are talking about is something as old as time itself. Heel turns. Heel turns in the wrestling business. Of course, the first most famous heel turn, Judas.
Yeah, he was a dick.
You son of a biscuit.
Peter kind of turned heel near the end, but you know, wasn't a full turn. He didn't get quite the heat he deserved, but
yeah, Judas.
I mean, Jesus said, "Turn on me, Pete. Turn on me."
Right. Oh, he challenged.
You're going to need to
challenge him.
Yep. Anyway, that was the first heel turn.
But it has developed since then.
We're not. We're only talking about face to heel. We're not talking heel to face today. Just to be specific, right?
Well, that is what a heel turn is.
Fair enough. Because I had the best of all time, probably, heel to face. Mm-hmm. And that would have been Dr. Seuss's Grinch. Mm. He went real hard heel to face fast.
I would ask that how that ends, but I don't care.
Mm-hmm. Still a face.
E, tell us what a heel turn is.
A heel turn is when your baby face, your classic wrestling term for good guy, turns bad.
Mm-hmm.
Goes against what the crowd likes and draws heat.
What do you do? What happens when you turn heel? I mean, what does the guy do?
Well, I mean, the basic way, in using wrestling parlance, draw heat. By any means necessary. Basically, just act out of character.
Oh, you mean like pick up a steel chair and hit your friend?
Or super kick your tag team partner. I mean, it happens in many different ways. It's usually a quick divisive, though. It's always got a bite, or else you don't have like a slow heel turn, generally. I mean, they happen. Don't get me wrong.
There's a few. Actually, the best heel turns are slow burns.
The ones that kind of crank you the whole time?
The ones where you're like, oh, maybe he's not going to know. And then he does.
My only problem with that is you get in a dangerous position of being in stuck halfway between heel and baby face and then nobody caring.
Oh, you end up in purgatory.
Pretty much.
That's some place you don't want to be.
They definitely don't want to get there.
You almost always have to turn on the white meat baby face. That used to draw you some heat, draw you some money.
Yeah.
I feel like even now, even how turns happen now versus the day, which is kind of different, is it's... You have a lot of heel-on-heel turns to where the sympathy goes and a baby's created out of it, kind of like what Jericho and Owens right now.
Yes.
Even though Jericho was over the whole time, but, like, that's, you know, your old Savage and Hogan, and I just feel like a lot more of the...
Good guy old, and good guy.
Yeah, that's how a lot of the old-school turns were.
Yeah, you're right.
And that generated more heat, way more heat.
Oh, my God. You mean it made people actually want to see it?
Yes.
It's crazy how wrestling used to work. Almost made sense. It's odd. But, so when I say heel turn, and let's not pick the most famous heel turn of all times.
Well, let's not start there.
I would think we are all in agreement on the most important heel turn of all time.
If we're thinking the same one here.
So let's go somewhere else. And let's find a good heel turn. A great heel turn.
Well, tell me what's the most famous in your eyes that you're what era or what year?
A guy went from wearing a yellow and red.
Perfect. Okay. So
to purple and blue.
Do you want
who are you talking?
Do you want the first one we remember? Or?
Yeah, you know what? That's a good way to start.
We were talking about it earlier. Then the first one I ever remember that the bit was the Shawn Michaels turn against Marty Jannetty on the what was it, the barber shop?
Or, yes. Yeah. With Brutai.
That was awesome. Mine was Savage and Hogan over Elizabeth Saturday night.
That was kind of a slow burn one, actually.
The Mega Powers, but just how that.
Wouldn't that culminate? WrestleMania 5?
Yes. But, we're going to get to it.
And then another one, oddly enough, has to do around, and like, not that it happened on Saturday Night Main Event, it might have actually, but I just remember watching one of the matches on Saturday Night Main Event, was Sergeant Slaughter when he went heel.
Oh, he went full Iranian.
When he went during Desert Storm. So, I mean, like, I remember
those.
Iraqi. Yep.
What'd you say?
Iranian.
He's an Iranian.
I fucked it up. I mean, they're all looking alike. God damn it. I asked Animal about it the other day. He said they're the same.
Tune in to episode one to get that joke if you haven't.
Yeah, I'm not being truthful here. I don't think they
don't worry. They won't get that one either.
next thing you know, on Twitter, I'm apologizing tomorrow. I do not think all Iraqis and Iranis look alike.
Oh, did you get? I didn't even hear what you guys said.
Yeah, you got to pay attention for that sort of thing.
My first
Captain Cool.
My first one I can remember, because I don't remember Dusty getting fucked by Flair. The first one I remember is Orndorff turning on Hogan.
Hogan, yeah.
Was that what led to Mania?
No, that led to them putting a gigantic house at Olympic Stadium in Canada. I think it was called the Big Event.
What year was this in?
86.
Dude, how do you remember wrestling shit from when you were four?
I actually don't remember that. I remember Orndorff having such heat when I was real small.
Man, that is wild.
Hated Orndorff.
Yeah.
Wouldn't get his wrestling figure. I'm serious. I was like, I don't want that one.
Yeah, I clearly remember being an Orndorff fan and then an Orndorff hater within a matter of...
Oh, because he was the Luger of the time. Because he was great as a heel,
mm-hmm.
but he got fucked at Mania by Roddy Piper, so he went face for a year. And then they needed somebody for Hogan, so... Mm-hmm. You're gonna hear a lot of these heel turns and things from the 80s, at least, involve two guys. Dusty Rhodes and Hulk Hogan. It is unbelievable. And I'm going to go back as far, because we're going to have some early 80s people probably listen. Big ones. Rhodes started the heel turn. I don't want to say it's a phenomenon. I mean, people were doing heel turns long before this.
Well, whenever you're doing the territorial, you almost have to do heel turns night after night, depending on where you're going.
Somewhat.
I mean, it's not a full character turn, but you got to play it for that crowd.
And in time succession, Georgia had Ole Anderson turned on Dusty Rhodes, and it was a big deal down there. They were wrestling the Assassins. Ole, in the end, he cuts a phenomenal promo about sucking Dusty Rhodes in, and it was a year-long setup.
I didn't know where you were going to go with sucking Dusty Rhodes. I was so scared until... anyway.
It's
a different time.
Cuts a great promo, and you can find it on YouTube. He cuts just the best promo, and they have footage in the Omni. The Assassins are there. Rhodes gets Ole Anderson in. Gene Anderson's one of the officials, and Ivan Koloff's in the ring. And he gets Ole in the ring, and Ole sees that he's outnumbered, just turns around and starts kicking the shit out of Dusty Rhodes. It is one of the best heel turns, one of my favorite ones. The other, if we're going back old, and we're going to keep it in the 80s, and you guys won't know about this, Larry Zbysko was like Sam Martino's protege. Like, he trained him. He trained him. Zbysko was like a fucking power lifter, and he doesn't look like it. Because, I mean, as he went on, he got away from that a little bit. But they had Zbysko and Sam Martino come on TV because Zbysko felt like he was getting overshadowed in storyline. felt like he was getting overshadowed by Sammartino. And apparently Zbyszko thought all of this up himself and went to Sammartino and said, what do you think about this? And he's like, yeah, let's do it. Because Sammartino was kind of retired. Essentially, he was retired.
Sure.
So they go onto TV and do a wrestling demonstration, and Sammartino's just schooling him. So Zbyszko's getting pissed. You got to watch it. I'm telling you, it's great.
I will hit up the YouTubes later today for
sure. Zbyszko gets fed up and just suckers Sammartino and just beats him bloody on TV. And they sell out basically Shea Stadium on that. Yeah, and Hogan and Andre's on that card.
There's another good heel turn we'll get to.
Oh, yeah. But, and yeah, both ways. Both guys.
Right.
But I'm telling you, and old school fans will know about that, but the Sammartino-Zbyszko heel turn is one of my favorites, just because I always thought Zbyszko was a great heel. Stall tactics, shit like that. Now people can't stand it because no patience.
Even as a heel announcer, Zbyszko was good. Fuck as a wrestler, you know what I mean?
He was good. He became a great face announcer, too.
Fair enough, he did. Eventually, who was it he had the feud with that kind of turned him face and he went that way?
Scott Hall and Bischoff.
Oh, it was. That's right.
Because he, and if people knew, Scott Hall was in the AWA when Zbyszko was in the AWA.
Did they have real heat against each other? Or?
No. Okay, were they friends? That's why they did the angle, because gotcha. They were like, hey, let's, Hall's like, we can get him over. Because the NWO... As much as they've
been Zbyszko was huge against NWO. That's what was great about it. Oh, my God.
They would chant Larry at the beginning of the show, and he'd stand up and take a bow every time. I mean, he was fucking over in 96, 97. I know. It's crazy. They got him
over. When you look like a used car salesman, it's amazing that he was so over.
It is. But that's a great one. Another one, and I'm trying to get to the brass tacks. The Freebirds turning on the Von Erichs.
I remember reading about that.
Dallas up.
Yeah.
That's at Star Wars 82. If somebody wants
that's to. That's what caused the boom down there, though, right?
Oh,
I mean,
God.
That was the. Yeah.
Surprised didn't cause a riot.
It, damn near did. So the story behind it, Flair is wrestling Von Erich in a cage. Michael Hayes is the second referee. And Flair bumps him or pushes him. I'd have to watch it again. And Hayes cheap shots Flair and throws Von Erich on him and pins him just like, hey, 1, 2, 3 without getting the real pin. And Hayes eventually, obviously, Kerry Von Erich, white meat baby face, says, no, I don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
So Hayes says, fuck it, and leaves the ring. Kerry gets pushed into Michael Hayes as he's going out of the ring, and he bumps into Terry Gordy. Gordy looks up, sees Von Erich, slams the cage door on his head. And it
that'll
was
draw heat every
on
time.
Like Donkey Kong. And they, I mean, they were on fire. That went from a dead old guy territory wrestling the young Von Erichs to anybody and everybody went in there. Thoughts?
Sportatorium.
I wish I could have seen it. I wish I could have been cognizant of it at the time. Because
it's on YouTube.
I know, but...
it or not.
It's better. I don't know.
It's hard to capture it from.
Yeah, because
like,
you got weeks of lead up.
Yeah, on your computer, on YouTube.
I can go back and see when it happened, but to get the real flavor, you know what I mean, of the weeks leading up, how their relationship was before like the actual turn took place. That's
so
what
you guys can't go back and watch stuff without knowing the whole story behind something.
I don't have to know the whole story, but I would enjoy it more. But really? It's not going to stop me from going back to see it, but.
Because, like, I wasn't born during Sammartino and those other ones. I just know that if you watch the crowd and watch how people react in the studio or in a small setting, that people are into something. And I think that's what makes it better. That's why shit happens now. Like, the reason we're doing this is because of the Jericho and Owens. And they just gave us a topic. And I always think that's what makes it so fucking fun.
Fair enough.
But, I just wanted to run down the Dusty Rhodes turns for you guys. So we already said the Ole Anderson one. So you go to 85. He's in the cage. Flair's in the cage with the Russians. And he's
Trump was
attacked.
In the cage with the Russians?
No. These are Flair. The other Russians. This is the 80s Russians.
Okay. That's fake news, and we're not going to talk about it.
Sorry.
It's pronounced Gina.
They go to, they all, they're in there, they all start kicking the shit out of Flair. Dusty comes out. This is 85, so Flair is in tweener land. He had just beat Nikita at Great American Bash. Old school fans are going to know this stuff. Dusty goes in, and Flair does a great job of acting. He's just pulling back, pointing at him like, you know, hey, whatever he's saying, who knows?
Sure.
All of a sudden, the Four Horsemen are born. Ole and Arn come in and kick the fuck out of Dusty. This leads to basically the fans not letting them out of the cage, like surrounding the ring. Yeah. They were hitting guys that come out to save. Guys used to come out and save a good guy if he was getting beat up.
Right.
Just hitting guys that jumped up on the cage. Like they said they drilled Sam Houston. But that's a great heel turn. That's Dusty. Then there's Baby Doll turns on Rhodes on TV. That was after Rhodes had won the title a few weeks earlier. That's summer 86. Ron Garvin turns heel on Dusty Rhodes at Great American Bash 88. Basically everything centered around Dusty. Windham turns on Luger at the Clash, which is a great turn, joins the Four Horsemen. Windham goes into a feud with Dusty. It's so funny.
Was he booking a lot back then?
He was the booker.
Well, that's my point.
Yeah.
I mean, keeping himself fresh, keeping himself in the main angles.
Boom.
That's what I would do. Fuck it.
There's also the famous, I wanted to get into this one, when the Road Warriors turned on Sting, and then it led to them beating up and bloodying Dusty, which got him fired from his booking role because they had blood on TBS. And that was after WCW had Ted Turner had bought
the company. Standards and practices, sir.
Yeah, but back then, man, fuck. Like, you got mad about blood on TV. Well, I shouldn't say that. Mid-South used to put a big X on their TV. We get to Hogan and Andre.
The first
remember this?
Yeah. Of course.
Piper's Pit, and Andre comes out because he got a smaller trophy. They're giving them...
Well, yeah, Hogan had got the trophy for the 3 years of having the title.
Right.
Right. And then Heenan's been kind of working up apparently the big man was pissed, but you got the mouthpiece coming out, and he basically does all the talk for that, right,
if I remember correctly? Yeah, because it's two separate weeks. Like, they come out and do the trophy presentation. Andre gets the smaller trophy. Andre just walks off without saying anything.
Mm-hmm.
Then Heenan comes out with him saying, hey, we want to challenge you. You've been holding him down all this time. And if it weren't for Heenan, it would have been nothing.
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, you can't have, I am the Andre, you are the Hogan.
The talking, yeah.
I'd like to challenge you to a championship match at the WrestleMania.
That's the worst Andre impersonation I've ever heard.
Did you see Bill Simmons is doing a documentary on him on HBO?
I did see that.
Yeah.
On Andre? That'd be pretty good.
Yeah.
I've heard the best stuff about... Okay, let me preface by saying I've heard two different stories about Andre, how he was. I heard he was a cocksucker backstage at wrestling, but from the people who were with him in the movie The Princess Bride, have you ever seen that?
No.
He was apparently like just a giant, gentle giant that everybody loved to be around. Yeah, Fezzik.
That's where I heard about that.
Yeah.
I found that out yesterday.
What was his reputation backstage generally?
If he liked you, he liked you. If he didn't like you, he didn't like you.
And he'd let you know in the ring he didn't like you too, right?
I'm sure that was fun.
Yeah.
Think about didn't that. Like Hogan at first, apparently.
You know, you can't have a guy like that anymore. Honestly, if he doesn't like you, he doesn't like you. I mean,
you do have
but a guy that big who will seriously hurt you, that's a bad guy to have around.
Undertaker's past that. I imagine most guys could.
Well, and he's big enough, too, to where, like, you couldn't work with him if he didn't want to work with you either.
It's a different business, like, too, though.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't tolerate that kind of shit like they would.
No. You're right.
Just saying.
But that
was like the big Indian dude that was a shitty worker.
Chief J. Strongbow?
No, the...
That's funny that you mentioned that.
Dot, not Feather, from the country, India.
Dot, not Feather?
Dot, Great India, Kali? Not Feather. Yeah. How he was awful in the ring and would hurt people and, you know, just one of those things.
Yeah.
It's funny you should mention Chief J. Strongbow. And I'm going to ruin the segment I wanted to pump on you here. Every week from now on, I want to do a Can I Stump Corey?
You guys are going to tell me shit that we should do?
Yes, sir. I'm telling you. What is this? A
fucking dictatorship.
This is a dictatorship. I'm out. Any which way.
No, I'm saying I'd love some input.
No, this was supposed to be a surprise. That's why Jesus I didn't tell you.
Gonna, how are you going to stump me?
Well, this week I was going to show you a picture of a guy and see if you could tell me who it was. It's an old picture of the guy. Boom.
Why can't I think of Chief Jay Strongbow's name right now? Don't say it. Jay, fuck. No. Oh, I can't think of it.
Joe.
Scarpa.
There you go.
Fuck.
Wow. Would you have got that had I not prefaced with that, would just from that picture, would you have got it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
if I would have been able to look close at it.
I'm going to try to bring something in here, be it a name, a picture, something, to see if I can stump you, because this guy's good. Maybe anything. Anything that I think I can fucking stump him on, I'm going to try it with.
Right. So. What era? Like, what year should
any?
It stop?
No, but at
like,
this point.
Where should you stop?
Where are you untouchable at? Like, what year's dating back?
Don't answer that, because now you're going to give me targets.
Yeah, that's kind of the point, though, isn't it?
I guess so.
Because I know you had your period where you didn't watch from oh whatever until...
Dead periods are definitely like 02, yeah, 01, somewhere in there.
College.
02, yeah, to 06 is really bad. 93 to 90, early 96 is really bad. Just because I just didn't watch.
What were you doing? Like that? I mean, like that was like the meat part of our childhood, to where it was. You know, we had access to
93, 96. He was what, 12, 11? He had found masturbation, and that was a funny 3 years, wasn't it, Corey?
Funny enough, no.
No, he found that.
Not saying I hadn't found it, but I don't know. It was so bad. The Road Warriors weren't in. That was really what hurt it. And then 96, they came back into WCW, so I started watching WCW.
Well, in Japan? Because they had their stint in WWF.
Till 92.
What was it, 90 to 92, or was it just 1 year, 91, 92?
90 to 92, about 90 to 92. August of 90 to August of 92. Yeah.
Why'd they leave?
Hawk quit while they were at SummerSlam in London.
The hell did he quit for?
Threatened to kill Vince McMahon and his family.
What for?
Being Vince McMahon and being part of his family.
Shouldn't have did that. Should have thought about that before being born there, Shane.
I think Hawk was on some stuff back then.
Hawk?
Rest in peace.
That is a serious accusation, and I'll not have that sort of thing thrown on the show.
No, but so far, if you hear about these turns, they all lead to pretty big events, because Rhodes turn, or Flair fucking Rhodes led to Starrcade 85, or 86, 85, sorry, Starrcade 85.
That was the first one, right?
Yeah. No. First one's 83.
83?
Yeah, that's a great. We're not going to talk about Starrcades right now. WrestleMania 93,000. So that's a pretty big heel turn.
Yeah.
Quite large. Imagine if we. The next one, I know. Well, at least I can get you guys finally involved in some way. Savage and Hogan.
Yeah.
The mega powers explode.
Just going to say, Hogan should have never fucking looked at Elizabeth.
Yeah.
And the shit would have went bad.
I like this.
Should have never did it.
Didn't they? I mean,
that's going what, back that's and what watching. Her and,
go ahead, sorry.
Going back and watching, though, aren't you like, oh, yeah, I see where he's coming from.
Well, Savage actually thought in real life that Hogan was hooking up with her, right? I mean, like, he had that insecurity. He had it with Flair, too, apparently, like, at one point in time.
I just don't think he wanted anybody looking at her, speaking to her.
Well, and he also, like, didn't he, for like, ban her from hanging out with Linda Hogan?
No. She went down and did that on her own, from what I have, from the stories. She found out.
She's dead. She can't sue us.
What, Linda Hogan's dead?
No, Elizabeth. So what's, because I haven't heard that. So what's that?
Apparently... She was going on and off times and going out and hanging out with her, and then she found out life was different when he wasn't controlling everything she did.
No way.
Yeah.
No.
I know, surprising.
So.
But that's how that. I don't know that he thought fucking Hogan. I mean, not no,
you
for
just
shoot.
See that. You see that pop up places though. I mean, I've seen it pop up places, and people talk about it on podcasts that.
Let me ask you this.
Savage
would it surprise
delusional.
You if he did that?
No, that's what I'm saying. It's believable just because he was so out there.
He's a pro wrestler.
Yeah?
That's enough right there, isn't it?
I would think. What's your next, if we're going in order, what's your next big one after?
A bunch of stuff you guys want.
Yeah, Hogan, well, just after Hogan and Savage, what's your next big one?
Oh, I thought E would like this one because I think we've talked about it before. Sting had been teaming with the Four Horsemen for like a month.
I was going to ask if this one was next.
Month and a half, somewhere in there. And then they go to Clash of Champions. And I played it for E.
This was great.
A month ago or so. And Ole Anderson cuts. Dude, that guy could cut a promo like nobody's business.
Yeah, because he wasn't in character. He was just a prick.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah.
An old prick, and he tells him.
Have you heard anyone say anything good about him? Like in shoots? Like, I mean, he.
Yeah, I take it back. Some people didn't mind that he was a prick, and they knew it. Yeah. If you know a guy's an asshole, he's an asshole.
So it's kind of like you.
You know my buddy Joe?
Right.
Very similar.
You know Joe Pelusi? You know him?
Yeah.
I think you met him. He's from Atlanta, and or down in the Georgia area,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to say he played youth soccer or high school soccer with Ole Anderson's son.
Brian.
And
Brian, however they
say. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Ole's son, because I know it's not Arn, so he said that it was just, you know, this.
Well, since they're not related.
I know, that's what I'm saying, yeah. But they have Anderson as a last name, and it was one of the Andersons.
Mm-hmm.
But he was saying, like, how huge he was, like, how big of a deal he was to people down there when, you know, when he was a kid and stuff. But he never said he was that's the one person he never said, like, you know, he wasn't like a dick or anything. He just said he was just a dad.
Yeah, I
but
mean, they
a little kid's not going to see it. No, but I mean, like, and I guess it's separating work from family, not character from work, because, I mean, everybody says backstage he was just an asshole, too.
I can only imagine what he was like to deal with. You'd probably never do anything right unless you're making the guy money, which is kind of how everybody was.
He didn't like the guys. I mean, he was an asshole to Flair, and Flair was the one making the money, right?
Yep. Didn't like Flair. Didn't like, wasn't a big fan of people of color. He was one of those guys, one of those old guys.
Yes, Teddy Long.
Oh.
Had a couple, I saw something he was talking about, Ole Anderson. Like that it was just openly, he just referred to them as like.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he's from Minnesota.
Yeah.
Something about Minnesota this week.
Well,
Animal. We're talking about Ole. These guys from Minnesota, I'm telling you.
Scanlon's here.
Something in the water.
Oh, my God.
Huh? Something in the water up
there. Something in the water.
It is the land of 10,000 lakes, right? Minnesota?
Yes.
Isn't that their...
No. Land of 10,000... Land of lakes. Isn't that Florida?
Land of 10,000 lakes.
Is it Minnesota?
Minnesota. That's their state motto.
You stumped them.
The Sunshine State.
John Denver was full of shit.
Nobody was full of shit when we were talking about John Denver. The man was a saint. We'll leave it at that.
A bunch of different movies we just quoted. But that all happens, supposed to lead to Flair dropping the belt to Sting later in February.
Got hurt, right?
Sting tries to climb the cage, and the security staff of Keystone Cops drags him off the cage, and I wanted to say he tore his ACL.
Yeah, I think it was his knee.
I knew it was his knee. So he ended up, Flair had to sit on the belt for another 6 months till he got, 4 months till he got healthy. 4 or 5 months, somewhere in there.
Dropped it at the Bash, right?
Yeah, Bash 90.
Yeah.
So that was one they were looking to draw money with, and they ended up, I don't know, man.
Is that the one where they were going to have Sting in the Horseman? Was that what led up to that one?
He was technically in the Horseman.
Okay. But they were, like, you know, doing the suits and rolling around with them. I always thought that was kind of silly because of the, like, he'd have the face paint on. He just didn't fit in with that.
Ole just made it all worthwhile.
Yeah.
Flair just yelling at him, get out of this business! Ah, beautiful. You know what? That kind of, we can jump ahead to December 3rd, 1991.
Oh, okay. My favorite.
Yep, I know which one this one is.
What happened, E?
Yeah, that was the one we talked about earlier, the first one I remember. That was the Shawn Michaels turn on Jannetty on the barbershop.
Mm.
After weeks and weeks and weeks of shit going down in matches.
Slow build.
Yeah, that was a slow build, you're right. I guess they, well, I guess I got a little carried away there earlier, didn't I? Because they're all kind of slow build, but it's that one big quick, and then you're a heel. So it's kind of a combo of both. You know, it's build, 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 and then... You filled the cup too full and it spills. Follow me.
Yeah, because you're slowly, the hate's slowly building. That's right. Slow build. You're like, this guy's a prick.
Because Shawn Michaels could have come back had he not fucking super kicked Jannetty. You know what I mean? They could have got their shit back together and got a good team. But for weeks leading up to it, he would be, you know, flirting with girls on the side of the ring or missed tags.
Right.
Your general bullshit whenever you're trying to break up a team. Mm-hmm. But it all culminates on the barbershop with, you know, Ed Leslie, our everybody's favorite Brutus the Barber beefcake.
I used to love him.
It looks like they're going to patch things up. They give a big hug, and next thing out of nowhere, the super kick comes. The first time I saw the super kick, I think. I don't know if he did that before. I don't remember it.
They did him in matches.
Did they? Either which way, he super kicks him and throws him through a plate glass window, and Jannetty blades all over the place, and it was great. Which was weird about that, because it was a Saturday morning show, and he definitely shouldn't have been blading.
Yes.
But that's what led to Michaels being a star. God.
If it wouldn't have been for that.
That was a launching pad.
If you had to guess, if you watched as a kid, who would you have thought was going to be the star out of those two?
Jannetty, for sure.
Thank you.
For sure.
No way I thought Michaels was the better one.
Not even a chance.
I don't know why. So, I mean, I think I do.
Jannetty was a little bit bigger.
Do you think they could have had a program? Had Jannetty not gotten trouble with the law, you think their program could have actually been pretty good?
Huge.
It had potential. We'll never fucking know, unfortunately. They tried to bring Jannetty back several times with whatever they're going to do. You know, he was down on his luck one time and they brought him back.
Apparently, that happened before the turn where he got arrested. You've heard that story.
Jannetty?
Barely.
Jannetty?
No, yeah, what happened?
Jannetty is with some underage, I want to say she's underage chick down in Florida, and the cops stop them.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got, well, okay, so they grab her. They grab her and, like, arrest her. And I guess, like, they had manhandled her a little bit, the cops did. And I guess, like, her, I don't know. He didn't like how it had happened. So somebody comes after him, and he's like, whoa, motherfucker, and got defensive. He was probably...
Shouldn't have did that. Those Florida cops probably beat the piss out of him, didn't they?
May have had some substances in his own system. Who knows? But I guess he's got a bag of... Or like a baggie of coke or weed or something on him down in Florida. And the cops are like, my kid's got pictures of you in his room. And
had it on him or not, he had it on him whenever it was over. So
Exactly.
Who's to say?
He was gone for over a year after that.
Longer than that, wasn't it? But I thought it was
after the angle?
Back in 93.
After the angle, he was gone for a year?
Over a year.
Yeah.
Or
I thought you meant after they broke up as a tag team and then they came back and did tag team work, and then
he was back in 93 again to take him on, mid 93, somewhere, early 93. I don't know. I can't remember.
It never worked out though.
I still that's the one. And I mean, he's a great worker, and he was always a good worker. But I just for being as small as he was, and being as in that era, his look and the way he acted, the prancing and the shimmying and shit, Michaels getting over to the extent he did. Was one of the more not shocking, because he was so good, but
yeah, the heat.
I just would have never guessed that.
It's no surprise to me that he drew the heat, especially with that. Think about Shawn Michaels' theme music. Whenever the first time he did it,
Sensational Sherry singing it,
right, dude? That was so much heat.
It was so, and I hated that.
Oh, Shawn,
I hated that song.
They both sang on that, didn't they?
Well, first it was Sherry. Well, the main parts. Yeah. And then they got rid of her.
The chorus.
Yeah, she sang the whole thing.
Yeah,
at first.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I wonder if we can find that on YouTube.
And then he's like, how about I sing the whole song? Because that's even more heelish.
Yeah.
Once she's gone, let's get this down to me. Very surprising that he would want all the focus on him.
It is available on the YouTube, so.
Jesus. One more thing I wanted to point out about this is Bobby Heenan's commentary. Where they're doing it, and he's like, they slap hands and they hold each other's hands up, and he's like, see, one's not good without the other. Turns and kicks him. He goes, I knew he was going to do that.
That was the best ever.
See, he don't need Jannetty. There's nothing better than fucking Heenan.
He was great.
He was good.
Oh, I just loved that part. I thought that sold it even better.
You know, it's funny, though. Heenan doesn't get the props for being the announcer he was.
Who doesn't give him those props?
Well, I was going to say.
No, but anytime you hear top three, I never hear Heenan in the top three. It's always Raw,
Color Man,
Russell, and Gordon Solie.
That's exactly right. You got Color Man and Gordon's commentary guy.
True. I was going to say, Solie, Russell, Ross, all play-by-play.
Good call.
And
you got Heenan. You got Lawler. Who's your third in that?
Heenan, Lawler?
I'm talking about for your color guys.
Always. Monsoon?
Top three.
No, Monsoon was a play-by-play, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was play-by-play. Yeah. People didn't like him.
Yeah, I would say Jesse the Body was
Ventura
pretty good.
Was, oh, God.
You didn't like Jesse? I thought he was great. Right.
No. And McMahon was good, too.
McMahon.
I mean, McMahon did a good job.
Ivan Paduski. I ain't got time to bleed. And he always sounded like everything was from Minnesota.
Yeah, which is going to be all right, okay.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. He always talked in that deep.
It's deep, eh?
I'm trying to find a way to get to some of these in the right order.
Yeah, I wish you would have printed that out because I got my own list of examples. And I don't want to blow your list here. So
you don't?
Well, I want to talk about that whenever Paul Bearer finally left The Undertaker originally. Remember that?
No.
You don't remember he pulled the urn away from him back when after Kane had first been introduced? That whole you remember Kane was introduced in your house? St. Louis, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And then the program worked for a while. It turned out that Paul Bearer was Kane's father.
Holy fuck, I wasn't watching.
Oh, you need to go back and check that out.
I remember Paul Bearer coming back and telling him all this stuff was going to happen, but who turned on who?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Paul Bearer turned. Let me see. I got it on my list here. Here's how I got to describe. For nearly 6 years, The Undertaker did not exist without Paul Bearer. Bearer happily coexisted with The Undertaker as a package deal. During the Boiler Room Brawl with Mankind, actually, Bearer suddenly turned and hit him with the urn.
There you go. I wasn't watching.
Yeah.
Really? So he went with Mankind, huh?
You don't remember him being with Mankind for a while? I think he was with Kane around the same time, too. He actually had his own little thing going on.
Man, that's 96.
Do you remember the vignettes that he would do? Like, I remember you out behind the garage smoking the cigarettes with the formaldehyde.
Whoa, no.
Yeah. The house
fire.
Burned down.
The fire, yeah.
Yeah. Killed your parents and burned your brother.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was great.
I don't remember that.
Man, you need to get your shit together, man.
Look up Mankind.
That's weak.
When did Brother Love leave The Undertaker? How long was he with him?
For a hot minute.
Just not that long?
No.
Like right when he came in, yeah.
And that was about it. And then he was gone.
Brother Love show. How about when Owen Hart kicked Bret Hart's leg out from under him and did his little turn?
My big brother, Brett.
I fucking love Owen Hart.
That's why I kicked your leg right out of your leg.
I was watching a bunch of his old matches over the weekend, like when he was tagging with Neidhart. And he was good. The guy was good. He was a thick fucker. I didn't realize how thick he was.
Who?
The Rocket, Owen Hart.
Yeah.
He was short and thick, way thicker than I remember him being.
Mm-hmm.
So.
They all were kind of thick and... I guess Brett, when he started, it was probably more when he juiced that he got so muscular.
Yeah, during the end of like his WCW run, he really started to get upper body, like just bulky.
He was pretty juiced in WWF.
Was he?
I mean, everybody always says
I'm looking through 20-year-old goggles here, you know what I mean? It's hard to really remember. Because you know how it is. You get the image of the height of their career, like Bret Hart, like when the first time he holds the strap, that's when I think of him.
Right.
And he was a skinny guy. He had the leather jacket. He had the glasses. He'd always come out and put them on the kid. To me, that's Bret Hart. He was a skinnier guy. He didn't have a lot of muscle. He was a technical guy.
Really? Oh, man, I always thought he was ripped up. Not ripped up, but definitely he had some fucking muscle.
Well, you know, he always had the singlet.
Yeah, and around 92, everybody that had muscles, they were trying to cover him up.
They didn't want.
Yeah. I mean, there's a little bit of a thing going on in Congress.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
So, I mean, like, what else are we forgetting early 90s before the double turn, I guess?
Well, Sergeant Slaughter turned on America.
Yeah.
I mean,
Slaughter was at 91.
That hurt bad. He was a G.I. Joe. I know you guys probably didn't watch G.I. Joe, but he was the only real G.I.
Joe.
Did you know who was originally supposed to turn on America?
No.
Tugboat.
Oh, that would have really, really hurt.
That's who they were going to fill the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum
with. I cried for a week when he turned into Typhoon. It really affected me.
Because
him and Tugboat and Hogan were like a tag team there for some matches. Yeah. That's right.
He'd be his buddy. So that's who was going to be the big Iraqi sympathizer Fred Ottman, the Shockmaster.
How would they even pulled that off?
Dude, you got me.
His tugboat.
I think they asked ourselves that question just in time.
This is based on Bruce Pritchard's stories.
Oh, speaking of Bruce Pritchard, again, just brought him
up. I'm telling you. He's got a podcast now, and it's fucking pretty good.
Who doesn't have a podcast?
Actually,
that's an easier list.
I don't think Road Warrior Animal has one.
Not anymore.
We should get a hold of him. See if he wants to come on.
He could be a horseman. He never was in his career.
I reached out.
Did you? All you got back was, hey, eat it, honky. He's racist against everybody. No, it makes no sense.
That's not what happened.
Corey reached out to him, and then I sent him some mail saying, hey, you ruined my buddy's childhood, asshole.
You ruined his life, you prick. You prick, you.
He used to have a denim jacket with your face on it. Nope. Not anymore.
Nope.
Never happened?
Didn't have that.
Never had that. Okay.
I had a Legion of Doom jacket. Nah, that's not true.
Did you have the wrestling buddies?
I did have the... Fuck no, yeah, I had the wrestling buddies.
You guys had the wrestling buddies?
Oh, Legion of Doom wrestling? I was fucking
must
eight.
Just missed that because I thought it was like the pussiest thing that when
Check
I was a kid.
I was nine. You were 10.
My little brother had one. He had an Ultimate Warrior, and I was like, this is just the weirdest...
The one guy didn't...
You didn't like it because it was little. You wanted the bigger-sized wrestling buddy.
I don't know. It just seemed real weird. And, like, remember that they had, like, the football players had... Like, I remember they also... We also had a Boomer Esiason one.
Wow. I didn't know
what were those called? I do remember those
like
now.
Like, sports buddies or some bullshit like that, but it was just... I don't get it. Who wants to... Beat up something that's 24
here's
inches.
Here's what you don't know. That was actually Boomer Esiason at the end of his career.
No. Sorry, yeah. Boomer.
He was that beat up.
So I got to explain a late Saturday night Boomer.
You were cuddling.
I thought you were made of cotton whenever I slipped it in.
Yeah.
Yeah, but think about that. That's in a message like cuddling with these guys with their shirts off and their belts on.
It was the 90s. It was innocent time.
Hulk Hogan had a tank top on. Road Warriors had their pads on.
Hogan had the bandana on too, didn't he?
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah,
Ultimate Warrior had
bald Hogan as a wrestling buddy.
Had his tassels.
Yep.
Did he?
Well, they were like silkscreened on though. They didn't actually.
Yep. They were on like just his arms. Yeah. My brother had that.
Ultimate Warrior.
That one too. That's what's weird is because you talk about your little brother liking Warrior. My little brother liked Warrior. I really didn't care for Warrior.
See, I didn't either. Were you a Hogan guy?
Yeah, I think
that's what it is. It's the little brother took like Hogan was like the big guy. Well, here comes a Warrior to rain on his parade. Yep. Probably right around the same time WrestleMania 6-ish.
Yeah. Somewhere in there.
Stupid little brothers.
Who you got? You got any other ones?
Let's
before the double turn.
Yeah, I know.
No, that's pretty much it.
Give me an odd one.
Okay, Triple H joining the corporation.
Yeah, well, I don't even know what the fuck that is.
It was later on.
That 99.
It was one of his first turns.
That was after. 99. That was after Austin and
That's Art. Where he screwed over X-Pac, did some shit.
Yeah, oh, fuck, what was that all about? Because they both had matches that pay-per-view.
It was Mania.
Yeah, who was Pac? He was fighting Shane. That's what it was.
Yep.
And he turned on Pac and helped Shane win. That's how that whole thing went down.
God, it's a brutal WrestleMania. Woo, bad.
I'm trying to think. Bad. What about managers? Did Cornette ever turn? I mean, like, just going back to guys like that. Paul Heyman, Dangerous Alliance.
I got one for you with Cornette. You guys won't have a fucking clue what I'm talking about. The Dynamic Dudes.
Nope.
Were made up of John Laurinaitis and
Shane Douglas.
Yeah. And Cornette was doing double duty and helping the Dynamic Dudes, managing them. So this culminated, I want to say, at a clash. A clash, and Cornette's in their corner thinking everybody's like, oh my, he's got to turn on him. The Midnight Express had a foreign object or something in the ring, and Cornette stops him. And he's like, no, we're going to fight this fair. Get him. And as soon as one of the Dynamic Dudes turns around, boom, fucking tennis racket, and he swerved the shit out of him. And that was probably the only thing the Dynamic Dudes ever did. I don't think it was in Chicago.
I'm going to say it was at Rosemont for some reason.
All right. I know I've said this like 1,000 times about who the fourth horseman could be. Cornette.
Well, yeah.
We'll put him down.
He's a little busy.
No. He's got nothing going on.
And besides his fucking podcast, which is fantastic.
It's going to turn to a political show.
No, we can't have that.
No, his show's going to.
Oh, it's getting there. But this leads to that. We'll jump back to 97. WrestleMania 13 and the double turn, Austin and Hart. Probably the best best double turn ever, as hard as that is to get over. What'd you guys think? And I,
you know what's great about that turn is when you think about those guys at that time, I don't relate it as the double turn. I think of Bret Hart separately as the anti-American and Stone Cold, you know, as a badass babyface. He's a good guy right now. You know what I mean? I don't think that it was just that match where he had persevered so hard against Hart. You know, he did the push-up and the sharpshooter. That's pretty much what caused the turn at the end of it, right?
Well,
the crowd chanting because he was working so hard.
This is a slow burn, too, because
I was going to say, Austin was just catching fire.
He was getting there, and Hart had the cage match with Sid where he got fucked again, and they're taking the cage down. McMahon goes in to interview him, and he says, "This is bullshit."
But he never said anything.
Well, nobody,
you know, yeah.
And shit came on the air on TV, and it was like, whoa.
Yeah, it was, I remember that.
But that blew that blew Austin up.
And that's what I was going to say. I even before the double turn, I remember seeing, you know, they started doing merch.
Was that the King of the Hill? King of the Hill. Good Lord.
No, not the double turn.
God damn it.
The 316 was at King of the Ring.
Speech,
but... You know, he started wearing the shirts not that much longer after he, you know, started stomping around like the badass. When did he convert over to the jean shorts? Was that after the double turn?
All the jean short shit, I mean, when 97. He was going jean shorts was after he broke his neck. I mean, that's when he started coming out and he always had jeans on. He had that period where he didn't wrestle for
four months,
yeah.
That was a brutal fucking pile driver, too.
Oof.
Oh, man.
I don't know how.
And the one guy that would do it was the last guy that you'd think.
How he agreed to take that move, either. But, yeah, man, that got him kick-started. Kind of got, I mean, obviously Austin got over, and it would take another year, right around a year, to get to overtake WCW. But, I mean, a double turn like that. Chicago helps.
Who booked that?
To do it. Probably Patterson and McMahon.
That's good booking.
Yeah, it is.
Damn good booking.
I bet if you asked Russo, he'd say he booked it.
Probably.
Yeah, he booked everything.
He'd be a fucking liar, too, is my guess.
He booked the Garden of Eden.
In his eyes. And then the last one before we get to the big one was the death of the Attitude Era. And that is when... Fucking Austin. Yeah, it's funny. Austin turns, and then Austin turns heel at WrestleMania 17. That was it, man. That's pretty much where old school stops and starts.
What? And
you guys ever watched that match back?
Didn't make sense.
That's the best match I've ever seen.
Just don't get why they would do that.
Killed the business. Definitely killed his momentum.
Mm-hmm.
It killed everything.
Who benefited from it? Anyone?
Nobody. And who'd they have him team up with? Triple H.
Yep.
That went over. So then Triple H gets hurt, and what do they have to do? Push Angle. So Angle technically benefited from it.
Yeah.
Somebody had to. You guys have never watched that match?
Which match?
Fucking Austin Rock, WrestleMania 17.
The first one?
Is
it the first time they wrestled at WrestleMania?
No. 99 was the first time they did. WrestleMania 15. This was Seattle? The second.
Yeah, 2001.
No. Where was that one at?
Houston.
Houston. Seattle was the last time they wrestled then, right?
Yes. Third time's a charm. I can't. Nah, that match is so good. I don't. Double juice. Outside. They start hot. Then McMahon comes down. Fucking Austin. They went through a whole thing. They went backwards with how he turned face against Hart, where he wouldn't give up bleeding, to where he had to cheat and get to the ropes. The psychology of that match is perfection. Still the best.
Vince came down, didn't you think that he was coming down for The Rock at the beginning of that?
I tell you, good story about this, too. At my college dorm, everybody wanted to see this, and I don't know why, because it never happened before. They got WrestleMania that year down in the Commons area of our dorm. So we all watched it. And it was people were like, holy shit, what's going to happen? What's going to happen, from what I remember. and he turns, and I was like, ugh. And I, the other thing I remember, everybody still cheered. So that's when you know it didn't take.
Well, he was still getting cheered when he'd come out with the damn corporation. They'd get all booed, and then when he would talk or whatever, I mean, like, he...
Who wants to cheer? What? Man. Who wants to boo your favorite
Austin
guy?
Austin was still getting cheered.
What?
Stop it. I just got that after the third
can't
one.
Forgive
it
took
him
a minute or two.
Can't forgive him for that. That's the one thing he didn't.
Speaking of that WrestleMania, the WrestleMania 17, what I don't remember and apparently happened was the gimmick Battle Royal.
Oh, who won it?
With all
Iron
the old
Sheik?
Ones?
The Iron Sheik wins. That's yeah. awesome. That but, bad. Boy, that had a who's who in it, didn't it?
Gobbledygook.
Who was in it?
Jim Cornette.
Let me run through. Repo Man. Gobbledygooker, the Tugboat, Earthquake, Kim Chi, Bushwhacker Luke, Jim Cornette, Duke the Dumpster Drosy, The Goon, Nikolai Volkoff, Bushwhacker Butch, Doink the Clown, Michael P.S. Hayes, The One Man Gang, Kamala, Brother Love, Sergeant Slaughter, and Hillbilly Jim. Wow. And, of course, the Iron Sheik.
So 25?
You know, I've only got 19 of them listed here. That's kind of weird.
Well, how the hell did I count 25 then?
Well, who said it was 25?
I'm thinking
I thought I just counted 25 when I was going through it.
No, that's 20. 19, right,
maybe I counted
19.
Yeah, that's okay. So now to Hogan, the biggest ever.
The once again, the piece de resistance. Hogan turns on everybody.
Perhaps the greatest buildup of all time. We didn't know what was happening.
Something tells me they didn't know what was happening.
You think they were just like, yeah, let's go ahead and do this?
Well, the rumor is it was supposed to be Sting if Hogan wouldn't go for it.
And they didn't think he was going to. No. Until the night before. Was it Kevin Sullivan that talked him into it?
Which is beautiful.
I don't know if it was the night before. I think they had it in mind and said, all right, let's go.
No, but like, so that getting him to commit to doing
they
it didn't
know
the night before.
They didn't know what they were going to do with Sting. Like the whole Sting thing that happened just after that, they didn't know before that point that that's where he was heading to after that?
I mean, look at how long it took to get Sting to...
What, a year?
Black and white. No.
How long was it? Because it didn't take long. People were...
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, he didn't
take
long because
I can remember people...
the rafters and stuff.
Exactly right, because I remember he was being pissed that people, you know, didn't think he, you know... Wow, fuck, how did that go?
Yes.
They were accusing him of...
trusted him.
Right, people didn't trust him. They thought he was going to be the third
there
guy.
There was a fake Sting.
Oh, that's how the fake Sting came in. God damn, yep. It's been too long. That was all beautiful, man. That was some of the best wrestling ever.
It was good.
That run, the Monday Night Wars in that era, I don't care what anybody says. That was, in my opinion, the golden age. For me, that was the golden age of wrestling.
It was for the companies and
for flipping back and forth.
For TV, for merchandise.
Even, it was the beginning of internet wrestling, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was the golden age.
Yeah, it ruined it.
You think internet ruined wrestling, you think?
Yeah.
I disagree. I think it was ruining itself by that point.
So
there was only one logical way with the storylines they were doing.
They also
getting realer and supposedly realer and realer and realer. You know what I mean? They were doing it themselves.
They hot-shotted everything. Every match was on TV. Although they
WCW
did a good job.
WCW started shitting the bed on that.
Yeah. Title changes on TV.
Well, it's because
they
were so obsessed with the writing or the weekly ratings that they But so you know, there had always been this trend that you started these groups of heels for Hogan to run through. So let's say Hogan never joined the NWO, and it was Hall and Nash because they were over. They were getting tons of heat. They were getting tons of shit.
Hey yo.
So. A, what's the NWO without Hogan? And then B, how long does it last before they are fed to Hogan and chewed up and spit out? 6 months?
Well, number one, New World Order coming out of, and what Hogan first called it, the New World Organization. Unless it comes out of his mouth, it is not as big as that.
That's fair.
Sting wouldn't have had the same feel. Yeah, let's get to the nuts and bolts of this turn.
Yeah.
Okay, so he was red and yellow, getting booed out of the building from what everybody says. I wouldn't say booed out of the building. No, he was about what a tweener is now.
Right, people were tired of it. It's like John Cena these days, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like I we've seen it, and we've seen it.
We've seen enough.
We've seen it enough.
So he comes out, and people are like, oh, and Heenan did a great job of selling it. Schiavone did good. I can't remember if it's Bischoff with him. I can't remember who it was. But they're selling it as what's he coming? He's coming down to help him. Thank God.
But didn't one of the announcers slip up? Was it Heenan that slipped up or someone that slips up?
He said he's the third. Is he the third man? And it's like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
But I think that makes it better.
I thought so, too.
But the way Hogan steps in, steps around, rips his shirt off, looks at those guys, throws the shirt at them, then pushes the referee, steps into the corner and drops the leg. And everybody's like.
Dropped two legs, didn't he?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the first one, right. He drops the leg, fair. And then he gives them both a thumbs up. That. One, it changed wrestling because he was a good guy for as long as anybody watching wrestling at that point knew. Yeah. Nobody knew.
He hadn't been a bad guy since Thunderlips, let's put it that way.
It had been since 81. So it had been 15 straight years of say your prayers, eat your vitamins.
Truth, justice, and the American way.
Yeah. So, I mean, that got me back into wrestling. That alone.
Yeah, that got me back to watching WCW.
I mean, then it was like, oh my God. Hogan turned heel. I got to see this. And then they killed it, but at first, like, you didn't miss.
No, because they were doing who's going to go next. And they were very good about being selective.
In the beginning.
Doing it slow.
Yep.
But then it just got out of hand when you had fucking more people in NWO than in the company.
They gave them their own pay-per-view, for Christ's sake. They had so many of them.
Yeah. Have you heard the story about them on the trash trucks and the snow and how it was, like, all that shit?
Yes. Yeah. Well, lay it on me. Trash trucks, what are you talking about?
For that pay-per-view, they came in on trash trucks. And where was it at? Somewhere Minnesota, maybe?
I'll say Iowa.
Iowa, yeah, you're right.
Sold out 97.
Yeah.
February, I think it was.
Yeah. And they're driving these trash trucks because that's what they came in on, NWO trucks. They had painted and everything. And it was snowing. And they're sliding all over. They're riding on the side of it and stuff. They're saying how unsafe it was. But just, I think Nash talked about just how, when it got to that point, how stupid it was and how out of control it was. And, you know, they didn't want to rock the boat too much or say anything because they were making such good money.
Yeah. That's one of the worst pay-per-views I've ever seen.
It was bad.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, speaking on topic.
They had their own pay-per-view.
Yeah, they had their own referees.
And they were losing with their own referees.
Nick Patrick, wasn't he in mask during that?
Yeah. What?
Well, didn't Nick Patrick wear a mask during that as the referee?
During the pay-per-view?
Yeah, I think so.
No.
Where am I getting
He did wear a mask for something. I can't remember what it was.
Nick Patrick wore sunglasses, came out with them.
No, because there was a while people were trying to figure out who the NWO referee was.
That was when they'd do those segments. They'd go to black and white during Nitro and do that. Was he in a mask for that?
Yeah.
Might have been.
I think so.
Might have been. I don't know. I'd have to see that again.
So goddamn long. Let me ask you this on topic and NWO. How many heel turns do you think the NWO brought us?
Dusty Rhodes, Scott Steiner, the Giant. When they get to red and black and black and white.
And Latino, don't forget them.
Yeah, I'm still trying to. Buff Bagwell. Jesus.
You can't really count the guys they brought in, like Six Pack and Ted DiBiase.
Those guys aren't turning heel. They're just showing up.
That's my point exactly. They're just showing up.
Yeah.
So,
because they had guys turn face. I mean, as many heel turns
Scott
as they
Norton,
had.
Scott Norton, I guess you could count.
They had guys.
Nick Patrick wrestled with
a mask. Yeah, you know what?
Because
he was
WCW.
With Ice Train. Huh?
Nick Patrick wrestled with reffed with a mask on SmackDown.
I thought so. Oh, on SmackDown? That's way after the fact, though. That's got to be a callback, honestly. Why else would you put Nick Patrick in a mask? It's just weird.
Nick Patrick NWO mask. Nothing comes up.
Huh. Well, maybe I'm fucking crazy.
I think you're crazy.
That's a good possibility. But the ears are quite cloudy since then.
Going back to the turn.
Guerrero, some of the cruiserweights that joined it. Conan. I mean, there's a lot of it's
fucking
crazy.
Mysterio was in NWO at one point, I think, and he's the one that took the famous dart throw into the
Yeah, by that time.
Real short memories, those guys.
By that time, it had worn off so bad that nobody cared.
Right.
Going back to the turn, perfect timing for anybody that was a kid in the heyday of it. Because everybody had grown to about our age and were ready to see it. And
we just didn't know it.
He grew the beard.
Oh, that fucking beard.
The black beard with the gold mustache, which was, it worked for me. I loved it.
It worked for the character, that's for sure.
Yes.
Do you remember when he did that Three Ninjas movie and he came in with a full head of hair?
Yeah.
Kinda. It was great. And it got pulled off during a match.
Yeah.
That was so bad. That's Hollywood for you there.
Shit like that was a bit odd.
A bit.
But turning him heel also gave them like a fresh slate of here's everything you can do now. You can bring in Piper. They got Luger over huge. They got the Giant over to a point, and then he, you know, the Giant back and forth. But they did so many things right to where if you'd have said one day this company's going to be gone, this company's going to be here, you ask me then, WWF is not going to survive that.
No.
And I don't know. I don't see how it ends up the way it ends up, man. They fucked up everything.
Yeah. Any decision that could have been made was pretty much made badly.
Yeah.
And quickly, too. I mean, like, it just seemed like everything was rushed and, like you said, hot-shotted.
Ratings.
Do you remember whenever they finally made the sale, WCW to WWE? I'm sure you remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any inkling before the show went on that night that it had happened? Had you internet wrestled that day?
I found out earlier that day.
Okay. So, yeah, whenever I watched that night, I didn't, you know, internet wrestle that day or whatever.
Really? I almost
at least I don't recall doing it. I
almost want to say it happened the week before.
Huh? That came out?
Yeah. I thought it was a whole surprise.
I didn't know.
Because remember Shane Mack? Shane came back out on Nitro?
Otherwise, they wouldn't have been able to get Shane down there, and they wouldn't have had the production
I'm just saying. I had no idea.
They'd known for a while.
I think it happened a week before. If somebody can look up to see
what do you mean happened the week they filmed it a week before?
No, they purchased WCW the week before that.
They might have. I just didn't know. Like we're saying, we just didn't know about it from internet or anything.
You didn't?
No.
Really?
Not that I can recall.
I did not. I don't think I remembered it. Yeah. I agree.
Hmm.
But that happened what? 2002, 3?
2001.
2001.
March of 2001.
So yeah, that was like fucking
March 26th. Almost half is the day I want to say Nitro was on. Somebody help me.
It was in April.
It's March.
March
of 2001. I guess I'll do this myself.
Do it.
But
I'm just pretending like it.
All that, but the point is the heel turn. And the heel turn basically made WCW. And I think if it's not Hogan, nobody could say that. I mean, I don't think anybody gets it over like that.
No.
Best heel turn of all time. If they did it with Cena today, it would go over just as well. March 23rd, 2001 is when they bought it.
I'd like to see him do it. Fuck it. What? I mean, and it's been the buzz of the internet for many moons that Cena heel turn would be huge.
Yeah.
And they just won't do it. I guess he sells too much merch still. And it's not like he wouldn't still sell merch.
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you think they actually could turn him? Even if they did with the smart marks we got these days, do you think they could turn him and like bury him almost or people wouldn't buy his merch? But keep him successful as a heel.
The thing is with his merch, it's kids that buy.
That's my point. Well, that's true. Adults. So it's easy enough for kids to be whimsical.
I think it would screw his merch big time. And
I think that might be a reason they wouldn't do it then for like Cena wouldn't agree. Do you think he has the creative control?
100%.
Okay.
I think he's at the point now he doesn't do anything he doesn't want to do.
Bought it March 23rd, last episode where they did that simulcast was March 26th, 2001.
So 3 or 4 days before? Interesting.
Yeah. Fascinating.
You guys got anything else for this episode?
I think that's about it here.
I'm out of examples here that are worth talking about.
Yeah, I cut mine off because I got to be able to include you guys.
Well, you can talk on it.
No,
I mean, you're just being a wrestling snob right now.
No, yeah. I'm telling you that.
Bit.
I mean, you can go through the dusty turns and all the other ones, man. That's the fun shit.
I like how you keep saying the old school fans will know this. Why are you bothering?
Because the old school fans would know it.
It's just funny.
Jesus. You fuckers.
We'll study up. I thought we both studied well for this. I thought we were. Maybe you need to give us a better.
Do you guys not watch NWA? Am I the only one that watched Saturday nights?
Not in the 80s and 70s. And
I haven't watched it in the last 5 years.
I kept it out of the 70s. On purpose.
Yeah, I would have known nothing from the 70s.
Yeah, barely.
Yeah, I mean, my stuff is like 80, 88 on, 89 on.
Hmm.
I can't remember. You remember matches from when you were four?
Yep.
I don't remember much of anything when I was four. I just don't.
It's just examples for me. I mean, there's certain big ones mm-hmm. I remember, but I don't remember much of the flavor from then.
All right. I'm going to keep that in mind. I'm going to keep it 88 on. Try and keep...
I don't think that's necessary.
I'll throw my spiel in before.
Just tell us what you're going to do, and we'll read up on it and research it or try to watch it on YouTube.
Heel turns?
Yeah, or just whatever, anything. If you would have given us examples, we could have YouTubed it. I mean, we all have the resources to find the stuff.
I thought the lists were pretty much off of what he's seeing the same thing. Because, like, I looked up that one. They had some other ones from the 90s that I didn't even have a clue about. Or early to...
What were they?
That's the thing. I don't remember. I didn't even dick with them.
Those are all the ones that Ian and I know. The ones that you don't know.
Oh.
That's right. We could just about write a book with the ones we know that you don't.
We know so much.
We're not going to get into it because we're not dicks.
When Al Snow turned on Val Venus.
I cried.
Hello, ladies.
Could not believe it.
I used to love Val, too.
There was a lot of head
jokes. He was like a... I liked him. He was Rick Rude. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no denying that. But he was more likable, in my opinion. He was corny, of course, because he was right out with it. He was a porn star. Rick Rude was just a Lothario. You know what I mean? A ladies' man.
I'm a Rude fan.
Yeah,
Rude was great. Don't get me wrong. But I don't know. I liked Val Venus.
He has a bunch of pot companies.
Sean Morley or something.
Yeah, he's a big advocate for medical marijuana.
Good for him.
No wonder you like him.
I'm actually not a medical marijuana supporter.
You're not.
I mean, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
But if you're gonna do it, just do full recreational. Fuck it. I'm not medical marijuana to me is it, sure it helps people, but that is not my concern. It's not. I'm glad it helps people. I really am. Put it out there, medical, if that's the thing. But that's not. I'm not going out campaigning for that.
X-Pac's a big guy for that.
For what? Recreational?
No, medicinal.
Is he? I mean, good for him. If it helps people, fine. But that's not my concern.
Not your.
Yeah,
thing.
We don't want to help people. Leave us to our recreational shit.
I'm just saying, if it's me making my argument, I would be hypocritical to go out there and make a medical argument. I got no medical argument.
You would be Hippocrates.
Hippocrates.
Whatever. Yeah, whatever.
The fuck was that?
I think somebody just got hit with a steel chair behind us.
I think that's a sign.
Yeah, we're gonna close this one out.
Something fell, gents.
Make sure everything's okay.
Somebody has crashed through the ceiling.
That's it for Turning Heel, our second half of our show. So we thank you for tuning in. STO and Big Easy, leave me. We're going to get our, just so you know, if you want to follow us, facebook.com, the numeral 3 Horseman Show, twitter.com, we are at numeral 3 Horseman Show.
For YouTube, you want to go to surrealtalkpodcast.com/YouTube until we get the enough subscribers.
Right.
And then it'll be youtube.com/3
Numeral Horseman Show. The numeral 3.
Not
Horseman
the numeral.
Show.
Yeah, yeah.
You can find our website at the3horsemanshow.com or just 3horsemanshow.com, like our social media. Basically, any 3horseman show you type into your browser will get you to us.
We're rich. We bought them all.
We bought like 3 or 4 of them.
You going to find us. Yep. We're eventually going to have guests and all that good stuff. Oh, we had Sean Wheelock. And by the way, we want to thank him again.
But yeah, thanks again, Sean.
We're getting there, kids. This is a startup. We're getting there. Thank you for tuning in for Big Easy and T.O. Thanks, and I'm Corey. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
Today's show is presented by DaVinci Smart Drink. Order yours now at lineupmedia.fm/DaVinci. DaVinci, excite better thinking.
Need a mental boost? DaVinci Smart Drinks were designed with professional thinkers in mind. With key ingredients shown to improve cognitive function and increase mental energy, DaVinci Smart Drinks excite better thinking. Drink a DaVinci. Let it go to your head.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.